Bedmax is talking today to Dr. Emmanuel van Eyck Westergren, one of Europe's leading equine veterinary experts specialising in respiratory disease. Over the past 10 years as a consultant vet, Dr. van Eyck has been called from her base in Belgium to assess and treat hundreds of top-level performance horses all over Europe with problems other vets have not been able to cure. A huge proportion of these horses are suffering from respiratory problems Dr. van Eyck believes should be prevented. Thank you so much for talking to us in the middle of this lockdown, Emmanuel. I know you've raised some fascinating parallels between the coronavirus and the respiratory problems that many horses suffer. But perhaps you could just first tell us what you do and why equine respiratory disease is such a major part of your work.
So I am an equine veterinarian, and I have a degree from the European College of Equine Internal Medicine, which means that I'm qualified to look in a specialized way at horses with internal problems. This could be cardiac problems, digestive problems, but of course, what interests us today are the respiratory problems. Now, when I studied, I did a PhD right after my studies in respiratory function and diseases. And that's why I have a special interest in respiratory problems in horses. And I've taken that out in the field because I've created my own practice 10 years ago. And we have a very high caseload of respiratory problems. We're two vets working, and we tend to look at the problems that haven't been solved in a simple way by treating vets, challenging problems. And that's where we come in and do ancillary examinations to try and figure out why the treatments are not working, why these horses are still having respiratory issues.
Okay, thank you. And could you just take us through some of the different types of respiratory disease that you're dealing with in horses? The names seem to change over the years, but COPD, RAO, IAD, and nowadays even asthma are all used for respiratory diseases in horses, aren't they?
So the names that you've given are typically names that correspond to an inflammation of the lower airways, without looking at what causes the inflammation. Now, COPD was really one of the first names with HEAD to be used. And then we realized that COPD, or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, is a really specific disease in humans, and it didn't correspond medically 100% to what we were seeing in horses. So then another name was given, which was IED, inflammatory airway disease, which was really just a generic name to say that the horses had lower air inflammation. But we realized that we could do a parallel between what was going on in the horse with what happens in asthmatic people. And so those different names were then merged into the single term equine asthma. Now, equine asthma can scare some people, but it's really, you have a lot of different degrees in asthma, a lot of different things that cause asthma. And I think it's just a way of simply saying that the horse has lower airway inflammation that is non-infectious. That means that is not caused primarily by the presence of a bacteria or an infected fungus, for instance.
The names and the severity of these conditions vary, but there's a common cause that triggers all these diseases, isn't there? Are they all caused principally by inhaling airborne dust and spores?
Yes, so that's the common thing between all of these diseases, which are, or what causes inflammation. We see that horses that are housed indoors have a higher percentage of risk of having inflammation. And the reason why this occurs is because the dust that is present in boxes can contain a lot of things. So it could be just inert mineral dust, but it also contains microorganisms like dust mites, or fungi, or bacteria. And these are the ones that cause problems because they're going to challenge the horse's immune system. And the respiratory system, as soon as it is in contact with these types of dust is going to trigger a reaction, which is an inflammatory reaction. So the aim of the inflammatory reaction is to help the respiratory system get rid of all these things that are inhaled and shouldn't be inside the airways in the first place. Now, what happens is that some horses will have an excess reaction. So they will, their immune system will go into overdrive and they will develop a much more severe reaction. And that can lead to disease, which is then more difficult to contain.
So it's airborne dust and spores that cause these respiratory diseases. And I have heard you say that keeping horses in stables exposes them to something like 50 times more dust and spores in their breathing zone.
There's not only an increase in the challenge because, you know, you've got these contaminants which are harmful, but also the level of dust is really dramatically increased. And you can, you know, you can see yourself even in a stable that looks clean. If you look up on the walls and at the ceiling, you've got deposits of really fine dust, and that's the one that's dangerous because that's the one that goes really deep inside the lower airways. So there's a question of quality of dust and quantity of dust, definitely.
And the size of the dust particles is really important too, isn't it? The dust that does the most damage is virtually invisible. It's the stuff you only see floating in a shaft of sunlight.
Exactly.
Could you explain how respiratory disease affects a horse's health and performance?
Well, if we go back to fundamentals, because I think that's an important way of explaining what happens, horses can only breathe through their nose. So we can revert to mouth breathing whenever we have a congested nose or a cold, something like that. Horses can't do that. And as soon as they start exercising at a more intense level, it creates a really strong resistance to breathing. So horses are limited in their exercise, in their performances, by the fact that they can only breathe through the nose, that they've got very long airways also, and that requires a lot of work from the respiratory muscles to get the air in and out. Yeah. So all these factors are already a limiting factor when the horse is healthy and well-trained. Now, if you add on a respiratory problem, you're making the horse's life even more difficult because not only does he breathe only through the nose, but he also lacks in oxygen. And when horses can't get enough oxygen, well, they're going to slow down. So it is not going to cause symptoms like cough or necessarily breathlessness or discharge from the nose. The first symptom that tells you that your horse does not have enough oxygen, that he's going to slow down or he's going to have less muscle power. And so instead of having a horse that clears his course, if he's a jumping horse, or a horse that has very expressive movements in dressage, for instance, that horse is going to change in the way that he works and he's going to slow down and be less performing. So it's really important. We as humans are limited because we have little hearts and we don't have a lot of red blood cells. Horses have massive hearts. They store 50% more red blood cells in their spleen, and they can release them and dope themselves with that extra red blood cells that transport the oxygen. But they are limited by the respiratory system. So it's absolutely essential if you're looking to have a successful horse in competition or a healthy horse that you want to, you know, go hacking with, breathing will be very, very important for that horse. Otherwise, if he doesn't have health of his respiratory system, he will not be able to perform to his optimal level.
So respiratory problems and disease clearly have an immediate and very obvious impact on a performance horse. You can see that because they just can't perform to their normal ability. But what about leisure horses, horses that people ride just for pleasure? How serious is this problem for those sorts of horses as well?
Well, the trouble is, you know, when you have a racehorse, you're going to immediately know when he's performing or not. So it is easier for trainers or veterinarians that deal with racehorses to know that something's going wrong. When you've got a leisure horse and you go hacking once in a while, but you don't do anything major, the horse can develop a respiratory condition over a long period of time without you even noticing. You might feel that, during winter time, he's a little bit slower. So you might think, oh, maybe I should give him a bit of vitamins, and that's fair. But you have to ask yourself, if you feel that he's progressively going from, a sparkly little horse to a diesel engine, it could be that he is developing a respiratory condition. So what happens is when eventually he's going to start coughing, because that's usually what happens after a long period of time, the fact that he's coughing signals you that there's something in the lower airways. Well, it could have been going on for, ages without you noticing. So the problem there is that it's going to be much more difficult to reverse the problems that have been evolving for so long. It's going to take time, it's going to take energy, and it's going to be costly, because you're going to have to medicate the horse for a long period of time.
So you're saying the problem can build up over a long period without the owner noticing. Are we talking about years?
Yeah, definitely. Usually the leisure horses are, a little bit older, so they've been exposed for years to significant amounts of dust, and this does create a reaction, whether you want it or not. If you remember the crisis of asbestos, it took a long time before we realized that asbestos was toxic for people, and that people died of cancer. So this is not a situation as dramatic as asbestos, but it's a little bit, you could do a parallel, is that you're inhaling things that are noxious and you don't realize before it's too late, before you've got sometimes some irreversible lesions in your lung.
So basically, Emmanuel, it's accumulative over the long term.
That's right.
So it builds up from a completely invisible, symptomless problem to being a potentially chronic and even life-threatening condition, just like asbestosis in humans, which you mentioned earlier. I think it's really useful to be able to draw parallels between human and equine respiratory problems, because we can explain them, but horses can't. So do you think it helps human owners to understand what it is that horses are having to deal with? What you said earlier, for example, about leisure horses and about the first effects that people see is that the horse gets tired and lethargic. That sounds similar to us having a bad cold or flu that compromises our respiratory systems. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say. And I think if you want another parallel, I mean, we've been through a really difficult year, but I remember when we started wearing masks, we felt it was really annoying not to be able to breathe properly. And as soon as you took off your mask, all of a sudden you could gape a nice breath of fresh air. Well, it's exactly the same thing that happens if you've got chronic inflammation in your airways. At the level of the lungs, it's going to be as if you were putting an extra layer on the horse's breathing system. So we would put a mask on, and that creates an extra layer. Well, inflammation in the lungs is that extra layer that you put. So for sure, it will make breathing more difficult, whether it's a racehorse or a dressage horse or a leisure horse. It does have an impact on the way, on their comfort during work, and on their health.
This is where the human parallels get really relevant, because we've been having a very frightening year with thousands of people dying basically from oxygen starvation caused by the coronavirus, which really shows just how vulnerable we are to respiratory disease too. And so could you just possibly explain a little more about what deprivation of oxygen does to a horse?
So actually, horses do experience deprivation in oxygen naturally when they're at maximal exercise. When you measure the amount of oxygen in the horse's blood after a race, he's at a really low level, as low as if you just had mounted to the base camp at Mount Everest, so over 5,000 meters in altitude. That's the degree of oxygen deprivation that they experience when they are racing. So it is, horses have adapted to that by, you know, having more red blood cells and by a series of other things, like developing their hearts. But once they are depleted in oxygen and oxygen deprived, they will slow down. So there is a mechanism, a physiological mechanism, that will slow down the muscle contraction. And that means that the horse will not go as fast or go as high or work as well if he's got oxygen deprivation. That's the first thing. Second thing is, you know, when you tell your kids never to put a plastic bag over their heads, horses that have airway obstruction, that's exactly how they feel. They're just gaping for air. And it's a very anxiogenic feeling. So horses that can't breathe properly do become stressful horses, well, stressy horses. They don't work in a very relaxed way because they feel that whenever they're going to work, they're going to be deprived in oxygen.
Respiratory problems obviously have a physical impact on a horse's health and ability to perform, but they can also affect their mental well-being, causing stress and anxiety that might perhaps result in behavioural problems. There's obviously a lot more to this than meets the eye. And in the second part of this podcast, Dr. Van Eyck is going to explain more about the way oxygen deprivation caused by respiratory disease can lead to serious long-term health problems and even to injury.